From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Here and Now. There's news on the seemingly endless rash of credit card numbers stolen from retailers. Hackers who stole credit card information from more than a million Neiman Marcus customers last year are now believed to be members of a sophisticated Russian syndicate. Neiman Marcus wasn't their only target. The group stole more than 160 million credit card numbers from more than 100 companies over the past 7 years. Cardiff Garcia is a reporter with the Financial Times and joins us from New York to discuss. Welcome back, Cardiff.
Hey, Meghna.
Hey. So 7 years, 100 companies, 160 million credit card numbers. What took the FBI so long to pinpoint these guys?
I mean, we've been chasing them for a very long time. Details are actually still a little bit sketchy. What we do know comes from a very nicely reported piece in Bloomberg News today. Again, we've been chasing these guys for a while. So if I had to speculate, I'd say it's very possible that they installed malware somewhere in the computers of Neiman Marcus, or that they did something similar to what they've done in the past, and that U.S. law enforcement essentially identified the technology or the pattern. But I would note again that we still aren't exactly sure. But we do know that credit card technology is particularly vulnerable, as we've seen in the last few years. And it looks like, unlike in the case of Target, this actually was the work of some fairly sophisticated individuals.
Which is one of the things that's kind of jaw-dropping about it, that the massive breach at Target may have been done by a less sophisticated group. So tell us a little bit more about this Russian syndicate.
Sure.
I mean, do we know how many hackers are members of the syndicate?
We don't, and the story here is kind of interesting. You know, it reminds me of like something out of a John le Carré novel, right?
Yeah.
Like Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy or something. So the story told by U.S. law enforcement is that the Russians haven't been very cooperative in terms of, you know, tracking these guys down, that essentially a lot of the Russian hackers, the better ones at least, like live very well. They live out in the open. And so we haven't been, you know, we're kind of limited in terms of what we can do. We can try to defend against these hacks, but it's harder to go after these guys. So we've caught a couple of them, but the problem is we don't know how big the syndicate is. And it seems to be one of these criminal organizations where, you know, its members come together to do specific hacks, and then they break apart and they go do their own projects. So it's made it very hard to track these guys down. And so, yeah, they're, you know, most of these guys are still out there.
Right. I mean, so it's both sort of amorphous and organic. Really interesting. And you mentioned that a couple of the members of the syndicate had even been indicted recently by the U.S. government.
Yeah, I think so. And I don't think they're in custody, and I really don't know how much we know about them. Given the fact that we can't, you know, catch these guys, it really is of limited use to just have a couple of their members rather than having, you know, whoever it is that's, you know, one of their main organizers, if there even is one. So it's just a really difficult situation, and I think we have to consider this in the broader context of the U.S. payment system more generally and how safe it really is. I mean, I don't want to scare anybody unnecessarily, but this is a situation that just shows once again that we really need to upgrade the technology, the infrastructure of the U.S. payment system to make people less vulnerable to having their information stolen.
Point taken. And I think that a lot of people feel the same way, because 100 retailers just by one, you know, Russian syndicate, Lord knows what else is out there in terms of potential malware attacks, you know, waiting in the wings. So for as long as the system as a whole isn't upgraded, what should individuals do to keep their credit card information safe?
Well, again, I'm trying not to scare people unnecessarily. I mean, most of the time you're going to be fine. In the meantime, we can, you know, you can push for better legislation. You can push for legislators to give the Federal Trade Commission more authority to investigate these hacks. You can push for national standards,
yep,
for, you know, to make sure that consumers are better protected. And in the meantime, thankfully, we are moving towards better technology for credit cards,
yep,
from magnetic swipe to chip and PIN.
Cardiff Garcia, reporter for the Financial Times. Thanks, Cardiff.
Thank you.
This is Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.